serving the great state of Montana. From the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, how are your brackets looking? Did any of you guys fill out your March Madness? Oh, can't say that word even when you're talking about their basketball tournament. But did any of you fill out an NCAA March bracket for the basketball tournament? Well, there's a little bit of bracket mania going on here in Montana, but we're not going to talk college basketball. Now, I know there's some Gonzaga fans out there maybe that still want to talk some college basketball, but most of you got your brackets busted. And not in a good way. Well, Montana is doing some bracket busting, but in a very good way. You know, we've told you about the fact that, hey, there's over $1 billion. Some of the big news here in Montana, over $1 billion in tax relief is going to be going out all across Montana. In fact, the Washington Examiner put this in perspective in a recent column here, pointing out that eligible residents could receive up to $3,000 over the summer based on this property tax relief that was passed by the Republican supermajority in the legislature and then signed into law by Governor Greg Gianforte. And according to the Washington Examiner, Montana's Department of Revenue will start issuing individual income tax rebates starting in July and property tax rebates starting on August 15th. So if you're trying to take the kids on a last little summer camping trip before the school year starts, that's when that some of that tax relief will start showing up here, according to the Washington Examiner. But yeah, we've told you about the big news here in Montana. Folks of all income ranges will be getting a tax cut, and you'll be receiving both income and property tax rebate checks. But the Montana legislature here, not just in this session, but also in the last legislative session, has also achieved another major accomplishment that most of us here in Montana may not have even realized until the Wall Street Journal heaped praise on Governor Greg Gianforte in a weekend editorial headlined, "Montana makes its income taxes flatter." The Wall Street Journal writes, "There's another kind of bracket mania sweeping the country, and its effects will last long beyond the NCAA basketball tournament. More than a dozen states that have cut tax rates lately have also slashed the number of income tax brackets. The result is a simpler and fairer tax code that combines a broad base with lower rates." And so according to the Wall Street Journal, Montana has now gone from having seven tax brackets to just two, delivering far more simplicity to the system facing taxpayers. The Wall Street Journal later added that Montana enacted its income tax in 1933 with four brackets, but expanded to 10 by 1971. So thanks to the Republican supermajority and and Governor Gianforte, we've done some bracket busting, but some good bracket busting, not only breaking down those tax brackets to D.
Or go to selectquote.com now. That's 1-800-452-5050.
Full details on example policies at selectquote.com/commercials.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, phone lines are open for you for the full hour here on our Montana Talks statewide radio show, the show where you get to talk anything and everything you want to talk about, whether that's local Montana news or national topics. Phone lines are open for you, and you get a chance to be heard all across Montana and hear what other folks across the state have to say as well. 406-294-0970, or you can send us a quick message on our Montana Talks app. Yeah, I was chatting with Evelyn Pyburn from the Big Sky Business Journal. She always does an incredible job covering business news. And we were talking about, you know, the national attention that Montana is now getting, the positive national attention that Montana is getting, not just for lowering the tax rates, but for also busting these brackets. and breaking down the number of different tax brackets, simplifying the tax code, another huge achievement for the people of Montana by the legislature and by the governor here in recent years. But when you combine the bracket busting along with the lowering of the tax rates, it's great news for Montana. It's great news for taxpayers. It's going to be even better when some of you start to get those rebates later this year. But the point that Evelyn Pyburn makes is the other reason why it's good news, if this is good news anyway, is that what else has happened here? Every time we have cut these taxes, when we did the Trump tax cuts at the federal level back in, what was it, 2017? I think it was the fall of 2017. And then what happened in early on in 2018, we started to see a Trump bump in tax revenues in Helena. Representative Lou Jones at Conrad called it the Trump bump. We saw a bump in Montana revenues after the Trump tax cuts. Then the Republicans take over the governor's mansion and the legislature in big numbers. They deliver more tax relief. And what happened? Huge surplus in revenue. We cut taxes, we get more revenue. But the point that Evelyn had was, you know, why is it that we're getting such positive praise and all this attention from national news outlets like the Wall Street Journal and the Washington Examiner and others, and yet so many in the Montana media don't seem to be celebrating this news? They don't seem to be that excited. It doesn't seem to be as newsworthy, this tax relief, because even if you're somebody on the left who doesn't like tax cuts, well, you still got to like the extra tax revenue that's being collected as a result. And so it's a great point. And she said this. She said, quote, "The left constantly opposes it, and it just doesn't make sense why they oppose it if they're interested in actually increasing revenue." She also added that, well, maybe it's because they don't want to give credit to the party responsible for delivering all of this tax relief in itself as well. More on that story at MontanaTalks.com. Phone lines are open for you, 406-294-0970. Let's jump right into the phone lines. We got Kyle in Kyla first up this morning. What's going on, Kyle?
Good morning, Aaron. You know, I've just got a quick comment, and then I'll get to what the real reason I called in. When you say that, you know, why is it that they're not, you know, supporting the revenue increase and that kind of thing, it's because the reality is that they have an agenda, and this agenda doesn't include freedom or prosperity for the people of Montana or anybody else.
Sure seems that way, right? Yeah, because every time we've been cutting taxes, we've increased revenue. It happened with the March tax cuts in the early 2000s. It happened with the Trump tax cuts. It's happened with the Gianforte tax cuts. And yet every time they cover these stories, many in the liberal media keep telling you, well, if we cut taxes, it's going to hurt revenue. The last time I heard from Representative Jerry Schillinger at a circle, what was being touted initially as a $1.8 billion surplus quickly became a $2.5 billion surplus. Last I heard, could be a $3.2 billion surplus.
Yeah, I agree with completely. So I heard on the your advertisement there, people, you know, the government is still saying get your COVID vaccine, you know, your booster and that kind of stuff. And I have a mind-blowing, stunning guest. If you can get him on, his name is Todd Callender. His website is Vax, V-A-X-X, Choice, C-H-O-I-C-E, .com. And I just heard him on another program on the Internet. And he has a lawsuit in the 10th District. And one of his primary witnesses is the woman that handled the military readiness for all of the pilots.
Oh yeah,
and
basically,
and
they're the whistleblowers, right? That were saying, "Hey, we're seeing health problems in younger, healthier troops that were forced to take the jab." Is that what the story is there?
Yeah, it is. But he has so much information, Aaron. It's like trying to drink from a fire hose. It would be one of the most powerful literally the most powerful broadcast you could ever put out.
Did you see?
You can get him on, and I think he would.
Calendar is the name. Okay.
Yep,
did you see the video of Fauci? Did you see the video of Fauci in this? I think it's a PBS documentary, and Fauci has armed security guards, and he's going through, I think it was a black neighborhood in Washington, D.C., and trying to promote the jab. And these people are just hammering him. You know, I don't know if you saw that video, but it's a must watch for sure.
Well, one of the things that Todd brought up is that they're trying to put this hydrogel that's in this vaccine, the COVID-19, they're trying to get it now into stuff even like lidocaine that you get used for numbing your teeth. They're trying to get it into every flu shot. They're trying to get it into everything.
For matters in Idaho, visit CordellCordell.com. 101 South Capitol Boulevard, Suite 500, Boise, Idaho, 83702. Joseph Cordell, licensed in Missouri and Illinois only.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooth to the banks of the Clark Fork River, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
You know, if I was a little quicker on my feet yesterday, I would have had a couple of things that I would have thrown out there. But, you know, the time just goes by too quickly on this show. Especially yesterday, we had John Jackson sidekicking with us in studio. He's the Joker from Twitter. He stayed with us for our statewide show yesterday. And, man, we ripped through a bunch of phone calls. But I was just dying laughing. We didn't even get time to, you know, to say earmuffs, kids, earmuffs, because we had that funny phone call from Justin, who said, "Oh, you guys are sitting there in your Trump underwear," and I was like, "I don't even know where you get Trump underwear." And then John Jackson says, "Well, I'm wearing a Trump thong right now," and I was like, "Oh, brother." And I thought about it later in the day. I was like, you know, if I was a little faster on my feet. Kind of funny. He says he's got the Trump. I don't even want to repeat it. I don't want to have to visualize it. I've got a DeSantis holster. For my Glock 43X with my Shield Arms mag. It's like, so he's got the Trump skivvies, and I've got the DeSantis holster. True story, actually. Got it at Shields. I've got a Blackhawk one I'm gonna try out for a few days as well. And then my buddy Deke, he's got the Montana Custom Kydex holsters that he makes that you can, like, you know, strap into your vehicle or whatever. And so so really cool deal how he does those as well. You can find him on Instagram. But like I say, if I was faster on my feet, I would have thrown that one out yesterday. But no, instead I kept it in the holster. Let's see here. The other story that, oh, man, if we would have had more time yesterday, how did I not think of this one earlier in the show yesterday? So here we were. We were talking about this, not prosecution of Donald Trump, but this persecution of former President Donald Trump, where you've got this liberal district attorney, this Soros-backed district attorney, launching this persecution against Donald Trump in Manhattan, New York. And it all revolves around secret settlements, confidential settlements. And after the show, I was BSing with John Jackson. I said, "Wow, how come I didn't think of this earlier?" So they want to go after Donald Trump for a secret settlement from 7 years ago, and they didn't want to go after him 7 years ago. They didn't want to go after him 5 years ago. Heck, even this district attorney, Bragg in New York City, he didn't even want to go after him 2 years ago. But now he wants to go after Donald Trump. Right now he wants to.
The Department of Justice didn't take this case. The Federal District of New York didn't take this case. Cy Vance, the former district attorney, didn't take this case. And even Alvin Bragg, when he got the job, didn't take the case. He only is now taking the case and bringing the case forward because of what? Because Donald Trump announced he's running for president.
Yeah, because Donald Trump announced that he's running for president again. So that's why they are trying to do this, to keep him off the ballot in 2024. But I was thinking about it. They're trying to string together this whole thing from shaky legal theory to shaky legal theory to shaky legal theory. The analogy and the visual that I had earlier was it reminded me of when I was in Afghanistan and, you know, our small 12-man team were at a place called Combat Outpost Wilderness, Afghanistan, and we lived in a little bee hut, and our fellow Afghanistan veterans would know what I'm talking about there. So we live in like these little wooden shacks, right? And we had the nicest people that would send us care packages with, you know, coffee makers in it, coffee beans in it, coffee grinders. You know, we had a microwave that we set up. Sometimes we'd run out of food, so we would grab the cans of tuna and the ramen noodle packages from the care packages, and that's what we would make for dinner sometimes, or a post-patrol snack. And so as a result, you know, having these electric appliances in this little bee hut in the middle of the mountains of Afghanistan, we would string together all of these different electrical cords, and you'd have them like daisy chained, and as you know, that's not necessarily the safest technique. So thankfully, we had an IBEW electrician who was on our team, who said, "Hey guys, whoa, don't do this. Let me square you away here." That is what this prosecutor in New York is doing, and he's basically daisy chaining all this shaky stuff together. Electric cord after electric cord, power strip after power strip, to try to string this thing along. And all he's going to end up doing is burning his whole house down, as literally the city of New York is burning down in a huge, violent uptick all around him. And yet he's devoting all of these resources in this political persecution of a former president of the United States. But I don't want to go on too much at length about that today, because we talked about it yesterday. But the thing that I should have thought to point out yesterday was, do you remember former Democrat Governor Steve Bullock when he was in office? One of the big issues that came up, you know, as he was running for the United States, actually even before he was running for the United States Senate was the huge amount of taxpayer dollars in secret that were being paid out as hush money, as confidential settlements. In fact, state settlement payouts soared under former Democrat Governor Steve Bullock. $3+ million in your taxpayer funds were going to secret settlements. So no matter what we think of Donald Trump and the secret settlements and the hush money, Donald Trump paid for that with his own money. He wasn't using our money for this stuff. Now, Bill Clinton, what was he doing in the White House? But they want to target Donald Trump over this. Steve Bullock, over $3 million in secret settlements paid out by the state of Montana by taxpayer dollars. So if a local prosecutor in Manhattan, New York, can go after Donald Trump for something 7 years ago, should a local prosecutor in Manhattan, Montana, go after former Democrat Governor Steve Bullock and go after these secret settlements that were paid out using your money, by the way? Not his money, your money. 406-294-0970, the number for you. Phone lines are wide open. First up, let's go to Ken in Billings. Ken, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Yeah, good morning, Aaron.
Morning.
You know, we talk about this Democratic Party. You know, these people are infiltrating our government and they get all their information and telling them what they should do from the major swamp suckers in Washington. I mean, you know, if we don't put a stop to these Democrat communists, we're not going to have no United States of America. Because that man up in Washington, and no, he's not my president, and I don't think he's a president for anybody else, but he's bought and paid for by the Chinese Communist Party, and they're dictating to him what he should do. He's nothing but a puppet, but he's got enough power with like this guy George Soros and a bunch of these other cronies that they're destroying us. And I don't think in my own mind that if this continues, I don't think we're going to reach 2024 to where we're going to have an America like we know it.
There's a great cartoon that I shared. It's a Branko cartoon. I saw it in the Fox News First newsletter, and I've gotten permission from Branko to share these on my social media accounts as well. But I shared it via Twitter, and it shows Xi Jinping, the communist Chinese leader, And it shows Vladimir Putin, and they're standing there with their arms around each other and the little military compact that they've created because they just had these, what, 2 or 3 days of meetings in Moscow. And and there's Joe Biden right next to him, you know, juggling all this nonsense, diversity, equity, inclusion, and climate change. And basically Xi Jinping is saying, yeah, don't worry about him. He's focused on other things.
Right. I mean, you know, this climate change routine is getting out of hand. This is a $12 trillion hoax. I mean, they're putting our coal companies out of business. They're putting our gas companies, our oil companies. He wants to get rid of cows. He wants to get take down these dams. And then he puts up these Chinese windmills and solar panels, and they don't do jack.
Well, they might be doing something. The offshore wind, there's a theory that it's causing all these whales to get beached in New York, and they're killing whales potentially with the offshore wind. In fact, one Democrat congressman, hats off to this guy. He's a Democrat member of Congress out of Maine, and apparently his family is in the lobster. They do the lobster business. And so he's called, and the family is basically being severely overregulated by the federal government that wants to go after the lobster fishermen but won't go after the offshore wind folks, right? Just another Green New Deal hypocrisy. Hey, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you, Ken. Appreciate it. 406-294-0970. If you want to jump in on the conversation or you got something you want to talk about, the show is called Montana Talks for a Reason. Next up, Lee in Kalispell. What's going on, Lee?
Hi, Aaron. Yes, you said something that I disagree with, though. You said that Trump paid Stormy Daniels money, but it wasn't Trump that paid the money. It was his lawyer who actually was never repaid. So the district attorney can't actually tie this to Trump.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, the lawyer did make the payment. Yeah, I wasn't sure about the second part, but you're right. Yeah, no, thanks for the clarification there.
You're welcome. Bye.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, I was hearing a little bit of feedback. Just next time you call in, great to hear from you. But when you call into the show, just turn your radio down in the background or you will hear that feedback a little bit there. Lee, thanks for the phone call. 294-0970 is the number for you. Ken in Billings says that basically Joe Biden is in the back pocket of the communist Chinese. I want you to hear the first words, the first sentence of this report from Peter Doocy with Fox News.
As President Biden hosts entertainers in Washington, Putin and Xi meet in Russia. In a joint statement, officials from China and Russia write, the two sides believe that the purposes and principles of the United Nations Charter must be observed and international law must be respected.
Yeah, so anyway, basically, Putin and Xi are meeting in Moscow. And what's Joe Biden doing? Hanging out with celebrities in Washington. Oh, I think Ted Lasso's in town. Whoopity-doo.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordland.
USDA announced the first investment of $1 billion effort to mitigate wildfire risks as the nation faces an ongoing wildfire crisis. The department announced a $197 million investment for 100 projects that benefits 22 states as part of the Community Wildfire Defense Grant Program. USDA's Forest Service worked with states and tribes through an interagency work group to develop the defense grant program. The initial round of investments will assist communities in developing community wildfire protection plans, key roadmaps for addressing wildfire risks locally.
When it comes to the beef business, there's no room for gray area. The decisions being made in Washington affect the future of the beef industry, the livelihood of your fellow farmers and ranchers. Your National Cattlemen's Beef Association knows there's what benefits cattlemen and there's what doesn't. Visit ncba.org to learn more.
USDA released the latest cattle on feed report, which showed a significant drop in placements in feedlots, down 7.2% from a year ago in February, totaling 1.73 million head, while cattle and calves on feed came in at 11.6 million head, 4% below March 1st, 2022. I'm Wayne Northland.
Mm-hmm.
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, this is a really good question here. Nick in Connor, Montana. Doesn't Congress have a fund set up to pay off women and men that allege sexual harassment claims against members of Congress and senators? I seem to remember something about that. Yeah, there was a listener that sent that in yesterday. God, how many millions? You guys might remember this from a few years ago. Remember when the Me Too movement was a thing? The Me Too hashtag? Yeah, and it turned out that there was all this secret hush money settlement claims that were being paid out with your taxpayer dollars when allegations were made against members of Congress. See, but no, let's not expose that. Let's go after somebody who used their own money for a hush money settlement claim here. So at the congressional level, you see that. What did this $3 million plus in confidential settlements get paid out for while Steve Bullock was the governor of Montana? Did we ever get an answer to that? Where did all that $3 million go? Why did $3 million get paid out? You might recall former Governor Steve Bullock had a lot of problems with his female lieutenant governor. He eventually forced her out of office. Remember the lieutenant governor from Anaconda, Montana, got forced out of office? And yet the liberal media in Montana let Bullock off the hook and never demanded answers. So, hey, does a prosecutor need to go after Bullock? If they can go after Trump on this stuff, it sounds like whatever Bullock might have been up to using your taxpayer dollars could have been 100 times worse. And nothing Trump did actually was against the law. I don't know. That's why that was a really good question you raised there, Nick. Thanks for the message. 406-294-0970, the number for you. Let's see. We had Brad in Kalispell. Looks like we lost Brad during the break. Dick Pence in Billings next up on the phone lines. Dick, great to hear from you.
Good morning, Aaron.
Morning.
I wanted to talk about Elk Bjornson for just a moment. You probably saw the big article in the paper today bashing her. And if you want somebody to pray for, how would you like to have taken over OPI after 8 years of following a homosexual? But the article this morning was the crocodile tears being shed by, especially by our superintendents across Montana, and how they're going to lose student money if we have any kind of other reference to education in Montana than the government schools. And I just appreciate Elsie, what she's doing so much. But I don't know if you saw that article.
Was that the one where it was basically a bunch of the teachers union folks taking shots at her, and it was just a rehash, and it was basically just a one-sided hit piece? If that's the one, I saw that piece.
Well, this was a piece where she bashing her for how she conducted the tours that she did in Montana, and yeah, it was
wow, which is so absurd. So here is an elected official, Montana's superintendent of public instruction, Elsie Arnson, who traveled the whole state, did town hall meetings, taking questions directly from constituents, anybody who shows up, and instead of praising her for the transparency and the accountability, they attack her for it. That seems par for the course in the liberal media, doesn't it?
It's just amazing. And, you know, you think about the fact that basically she's taking money away from the indoctrination machine, the public schools, and they don't like it.
Yeah, but is she taking away money from the public schools? The public schools are going to get a record amount of funding. Entry-level teachers are going to get another boost in pay. Now, there's going to be more school choice options, I think, that come out of the legislature as well, a little more freedom. But the public schools are still going to get more money. Did you see the video out of Helena? There's some outfit. They're trying to do like a spinoff of Saturday Night Live. And one of them put together a video where they were basically mocking Superintendent Arnson. But what's funny is you watch their video, and I get it, they're trying to be funny. So, you know, satire and elected officials, they're free game, right? But they're trying to mock her for censoring Dr. Seuss books. But the joke was actually on them, because it's the liberals that are trying to cancel Dr. Seuss. And in fact, I remember when the liberals were canceling Dr. Seuss a couple of years ago, Governor Greg Gianforte actually went to a bunch of schools around the state and read Dr. Seuss books to the kids. It was just hysterical. But the same liberals that want to cancel Dr. Seuss books are all about having LGBTQ child pornography in the school libraries, aren't they?
Well, it's interesting, because if we have a school that takes another student out of the public schools, then, of course, they lose number counts, which mm-hmm. is money. That's my point.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, if more kids choose to go to another school for another option, then it affects the headcount. I see where you're coming from there. All right. Well, Dick, great to hear from you. Thanks for the phone call. 294-0970, the number for you. Ann in Missoula next up. Ann, thanks for the call.
Hi. I have a thought. I think that the United States citizens should be sick and tired of what's been happening to our country, and we need to vote in an emergency vote to oust the Biden administration and vote in a new administration, because if we don't, the Democrats are emptying out all of our resources, and my thought is if that happens, we'll become slaves to China, Russia, India, Europe, if we don't stop this. I think we need to not wait till 2024. We need to start voting now to oust this president now.
You know, there are a lot of people that are saying, how much more can this country take? I mean, there are people that are wondering, how close are we to World War III? Our country is getting further bankrupted by the day. $32+ trillion in debt and climbing. We look at the attacks on law enforcement, the increase in violence all across America. We look at now what they're trying to do to our banking system, where they created this crisis with the Silicon Valley Bank, and now they are trying to shut down credit unions and regional hometown banks so that they can give all the power to a handful of their buddies in New York City, right?
Right, but we also need to stop this ESG,
yeah.
ESG, and we need to stop this digital currency vote, or we become slaves. And I think that, I don't know how to start it yet, I don't know where to begin, but I think Montanans should take the lead and maybe look to our neighbors that are Republicans and say, we need to get a new president now, or we're slaves to the rest of the world. Anyway, thank you for your time.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for the call. Thanks for listening to KMPT in Missoula. Phone lines are open for you as well. 406-294-0970. I've only seen a little bit of Game of Thrones. Did any of you ever watch this series? I think it was on HBO, Game of Thrones. I was chatting with Jonathan Savage. He's the Scottish guy. For Fox News Radio. He's based in the UK, but he is the guy who is covering the China-Russia meeting that just took place between Xi Jinping and Vladimir Putin. And the question I threw to him, and I think this ties in with what Ann just had to say there, the question I threw to him is, I think that Xi Jinping is more than happy to just keep, to just see this war in Ukraine just go on and on and on and on. Because from Xi Jinping's standpoint, he can just sit back. He can help Russia so that the war drags on, because he knows that the U.S. is going to keep dumping resources into there. The U.S. is going to keep bankrupting themselves. Russia is going to keep bankrupting themselves and throwing more of their own people into the as cannon fodder. And Xi Jinping can just sit back, help out the Russians, keep Russia and the U.S. fighting.
Items only. Exclusions apply.
Broadcasting from the Grizzly Gold and Silver Studios, trusted by the Northwest, Montana owned. Online at grizzlygoldandsilver.com.
Montana is talking here. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, so I've only seen bits and pieces of Game of Thrones, so I wasn't tracking this quote. But either way, wow, the way Jonathan Savage, who is the Scottish, I believe UK-based reporter for Fox News Radio covering this international news, I posed that theory to him. I said, I think Xi Jinping is more than willing to just sit back, watch Russia and the United States and Europe just waste all this money and all these resources fighting each other in Ukraine, and then China, which really is the biggest threat here, then China will sit back and just run the rest of the table, pick up all the chips everywhere else all over the world. And that's when Jonathan Savage asked me, he said, hey, did you watch Game of Thrones? Here you go.
Yeah, there's one line which sticks out to me when I think about international relations in Game of Thrones. It's where one character says, chaos is a ladder. And China may well be looking at the chaos happening in Eastern Europe and thinking, this is a ladder to make ourselves more powerful, more influential, and a ladder for our economy to climb out of the morass of the COVID-19 pandemic and the damaging restrictions that China inflicted upon its people and upon its businesses. So, you know, you may be right that China can benefit from this war, but at the same time, you could also say that China wants a peaceful world because strong economies can often come from peace.
Yep, so the Ukrainian people will keep getting slaughtered. America will keep pouring money and resources that we do not have into Europe, further distracting us from this threat of China. And meanwhile, China's just going to run the rest of the table. The ladder of chaos. I thought that was just fascinating. And you think about it. You know, he mentioned COVID-19. COVID-19, which came from the lab in Wuhan, China. Again, to the Latin phrase, qui bono, who benefits? Who is benefiting from this war in Ukraine? Who has benefited from COVID-19? I think we all know the answer to both of those questions. 406-294-0970 is the number for you. The other interesting thing on this very same front, there was a gentleman by the name of Elbridge Colby on with Laura Ingraham last night. And he was talking about this Russia-China alliance. He called it very dangerous. And then he added this. I'll play just a quick portion of it.
These are the two massive Eurasian land powers. China's now an economy of roughly our own size. Russia's a very dangerous country. And, you know, now they're basically in the position in which, you know, the Chinese are clearly preparing to use military action. We don't know what they're going to do, but they're talking openly about it. And at the same time, Putin is able to distract us. So I think actually, you know, people are saying, including a lot of Republicans are saying, hey, we have to defeat Russia in order to focus eventually on China. I think that's a delusion, Laura. The reality is at this point, the Chinese are helping to prop up the Russians to distract the Americans in Europe. And that's actually playing into their strategy. And, you know, one of two things happens for the Chinese, I think, in this sort of approach.
All right. Anyway, I'll hold it there because we are short on time and I want to have some time. If you want to call in real quick, if you call in right now, I may be able to sneak you on before we run out of time. 294-0970. But yeah, the point that he made there, I thought was spot on. By the way, he was the architect of the 2018 National Defense Strategy for the United States. He has a book out called The Strategy of Denial, American Defense in an Age of Great Power Conflict. So, man, first time I had heard from him. I want to go back to this ESG story as well that our Missoula caller brought up. ESG, we've talked a lot about ESG here on Montana Talks, is Environmental Social Governance Standards. And I'll tell you what, Montana Governor Greg Gianforte has been standing up. You know, when we were at the SHOT Show in Las Vegas back in January, that's where he announced the news that he is banning these ESG standards in state investments. So that's a billion-plus dollar impact move there to push back against this ESG nonsense. Well, now Governor Gianforte, along with 18 other governors, have signed a statement committing to protecting taxpayers from ESG across state systems. You also might recall there was a bill in Congress to ban ESG in these types of investments as well. And, of course, what happened earlier this week? Joe Biden vetoed that bill. And we called it, we said it at the time, Liberal Senator John Tester is going to come out here. He's going to say, oh, yeah, I'm against these ESG standards. And he'll vote against the ESG standards, knowing that he isn't going to stop it because he knows that Joe Biden will veto it anyway. Here's the thing. He has the power to stop it. just like he had the power to get the Keystone XL pipeline up and running. But he never used that power to get the Keystone pipeline up and running, just like he is not using his power to block these woke ESG standards either, because he doesn't support the pipeline. And he supports the woke ESG standards. It's purely a political move here that had no actual consequences at the end of the day, just because next year is an election year and he wants to flood the airwaves across Montana with phony political commercials, making it look like he's a moderate when he is nothing of the sort. If he were a moderate, do you think he would be speaking out against Senate Bill 99, the bill to protect Montana kids from these radical transgender surgeries? John Tester supports this concept of these radical transgender surgeries targeting kids. So that alone tells you all you need to know, that he is no moderate. He is a radical leftist. He is one of them, and he does not have your back. All right, sorry, we're out of time. Great phone calls. Appreciate the time.